We are now in our third week in a very short series we're doing on spiritual gifts. I won't have time to catch you up today if this is your first Sunday here, but the messages are online and you're free anytime to go and listen to those and fill in the gaps that you may have missed. Professional baseball players tell us that every bat is unique. Every bat has its own distinct personality, even though they look exactly the same. They're all different, they will tell us. They all have a slightly different feel, depending on the particular wood grain in that piece of wood, depending on the strong points and the weak points in that wood. Every bat is unique. And each bat has a unique sweet spot. And baseball players will tell you that they work very hard to find that sweet spot on their favorite bat. And if they can make the ball connect with the sweet spot on that bat, the ball will go much further than if they hit it anywhere else on the bat. Mark McGwire, Major League Baseball player, said this years ago, "When I feel the ball hit the sweet spot, a home run is just around the corner." I want you to know this morning that the Holy Spirit has given each of us a spiritual sweet spot. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, calls that sweet spot a spiritual gift. It is a unique way that God can manifest himself through us. I want you to hear that. Finding your spiritual gift is not about saying, okay, I found it. I can check that off my list. It is opening a channel that may have never been opened in your life before, through which God can manifest himself more powerfully in your life than he can through any other channel. And when we serve God from our sweet spot, he can do so much more through us. And the purpose of this series is to help you begin to find that unique way that God has gifted you so that he can bring about his greatest impact through your life. Does anybody want that this morning? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each of you has received a gift, use it." Use it. But where in the world do we start on this? Where do we begin trying to discover and figure out how God has gifted us and finding our place in all of this? Well, today I want to talk to you specifically about finding our place in the body of Christ. Now, these messages that we're going through in this series are teaching messages. There's teaching and there's preaching. I learned this a long time ago, and I found it to be absolutely true. Someone once said, if all a church has is teaching, 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 they'll dry up. If all they have is preaching, 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 they'll blow up. But if they have the right balance between teaching and preaching, they'll grow up. And I found that to be true. So this series is not a preaching series. It is a very practical, meat and potatoes teaching series that I hope will land squarely in your lap and cause us all to sit up and pay closer attention to how God has wired each of us uniquely. I want you to know, first of all, that when you and I function within our spiritual gifts, it is a world of difference from when we function outside of our spiritual gifts. And if we can learn this over time, I believe we'll be able to multiply our effectiveness for the mission of Christ. I should probably reword that and say, God will multiply his effectiveness through us. We don't do anything for God, by the way. He graciously works through us if we are open to him doing that. But here's a key point. If you don't understand the importance of functioning within your spiritual giftedness as opposed to functioning outside your spiritual giftedness, there's a chance that you may spend your entire Christian life frustrated and defeated. And so I hope this series will help narrow that focus for you. As I said, there's one of two ways we can serve Christ. We can serve him outside of our spiritual giftedness, and we will be met with frustration and exhaustion and discouragement, and by the way, so will others around us. But if we learn to function within our spiritual giftedness, we will find joy and energy and fulfillment and meaning like we've never known before. So many of you have shared this with me over the years in different ways. You've said things like, you know, Phil, I signed up to do that ministry, whatever it was. And when the day rolled around to do it, I had worked all day and I was supposed to go and do that night and I was so tired. Honestly, I didn't want to do it. And you said, you know, I seriously considered just calling up and going, I'm not going to make it. Too tired, don't feel like it, but you said, I went anyway. And then you know what happens next, don't you? Every one of you have experienced this if you've been serving Christ for any time at all. You go and you pour yourself into that ministry, whatever it is, and you see God moving through you, and the drive home is very different to the drive there, isn't it? You always leave energized, pumped up, so excited. You have this fresh life inside of you that you can't explain. And the reason for that is that's the joy that comes from serving the Lord, allowing Him to move through our life, especially in our areas of giftedness. Because you see, God has graciously, wonderfully built into this whole system this kickback for us that we don't deserve. That even though our gifts are not for us, our gifts are for others, to bless and serve others. When we allow God to move through us in our spiritual gifts, He also blesses us in return. It's a powerful thing. It seems selfish to even mention that, but it is a strong reality that you will experience if you never have before. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That doesn't make any sense in our estimation. It doesn't make any mathematical sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. No, it's better to get, isn't it? Surely it's better to stockpile stuff for myself. Jesus said, no. Better to give than to receive. It's more blessed. Blessed means happy. There's that kickback that we don't deserve. When we give, when we pour ourselves out in ministry for Him, He blesses us in return. So learning to function within your spiritual giftedness, as opposed to living your whole life functioning outside of it, is very, very important. But I want to say quickly, there are times when we have to serve, we have to function outside of our areas of spiritual gifts. There are times we just have to step up and help. If the chairs need moving and tables need setting up, you don't need to have the spiritual gift of table arrangement and chair alignment, although we have one of our elders in this church who has the spiritual gift of chair alignment. I mean, it's remarkable. I've tried to figure out the alignment of these chairs. I still don't have it right, but this guy has got the gift. That doesn't mean I can't help, although he doesn't want me to help with that. But listen, there are times we have to step outside of our giftedness and just help. If you're walking through this building or the parking lot and you see a piece of trash on the floor, don't walk past it and say, well, I'm not gifted in janitorial maintenance. Bend over and pick it up. It's part of your job. If you see a mess, grab some paper towels and clean it. If you see something that needs to be done, it doesn't have to be your area of giftedness. If you see someone who needs help getting to their car, that's your calling for that moment. Does that make sense? Don't need to be gifted in that way. The old saying is, if the ox is in the ditch, get it out. You don't need to stand around and look and go, well, I'm not an ox removal specialist, so I can't help. No, you roll up your sleeves, you get in the ditch, and you help. There are times we all have to serve outside of our area of giftedness. It is not an excuse for not helping in different ways. But I want to say this. Serving within our area of giftedness is where the Holy Spirit will flow most powerfully through us. As we talk about finding our spiritual gifts, I want to say one more thing quickly. There are some spiritual gifts that must be practiced by all of us, even if we don't specifically have that particular spiritual gift. Giving, for example. The Bible says that all of us are supposed to set aside a portion of our income on the first day of the week so that we can help support God's work. Even if we don't have the spiritual gift of giving, which that is a gift, we're still all commanded to participate in that way of serving. Serving is another spiritual gift that we don't all have to have in order to be able to try to help meet certain needs, as I said a minute ago. There are some people who have those gifts. Rarely you'll meet someone who has found out that they have the gift of giving. In fact, I talked to a gentleman just a few weeks ago who said he had the gift of giving. I almost fell out of my chair. Because you rarely run into that. And I was so overjoyed to see someone who has found that. And he said, I just get great joy from giving. How wonderful. There are people who have that gift of giving who God just moves through and they give in abundance. They just can't stop themselves. There are people who have the gift of serving, who, again, go above and beyond all of the little things that any of us could do because God has gifted them in that way. But there are some things that all of us are called to do. So I want to begin very quickly just mentioning five practical ways to begin the process of uncovering, discovering your spiritual gift. These are things that I've learned over the years. They've helped me. They've been a help to many others. I hope they will be to you. Practical ways to begin discovering your spiritual gift. Number one, pay attention to those ministries in which you feel most fulfilled. Now, I must add a disclaimer here very quickly because spiritual gifts, as I said, are not about us. But this is an indicator God will give us as feedback to help us discover our gift. The only way to begin discovering this is to jump in somewhere. Just pick a ministry, try to narrow it down, but pick a ministry and contact the ministry leader. Their pictures and contact info, they're all on our website. You can reach them that way. You can talk to me. You can talk to anybody here. But the important thing is you've got to jump in. You've got to explore. You've got to try different areas of ministry. I encourage people here to try something once or twice. You're not signing up for 6 months or a year. Just go to a ministry leader and say, hey, listen, I'd kind of like, if it's okay with you, if everything's good, could I step in and try this one time, teaching the elementary class or whatever it is. And then after one or two times, I promise you, you'll know whether you left that feeling fulfilled or completely drained and exhausted. This is a practical piece of feedback that God provides for us to be able to gauge how He's using us. So number one, pay attention to those ministries in which you feel most fulfilled. Number two, pay attention to those ministries in which you seem to be the most effective. Again, I know this is very subjective stuff, but God will move through you and me in the areas He's gifted us in ways that will bring about effectiveness that we will not see in areas we're not especially gifted in. Now, this ties very closely in with the next one. Number three, pay attention to those ministries in which others affirm God using you. Now, this is important. We must listen to input from godly people we respect. I didn't say listen to everybody. A lot of people will tell you what they think you want to hear. Find some godly people who you respect and ask them if they would be willing to give you some feedback in your life, some honest feedback, just to help nudge you, kind of bump you in the right direction. We see this happen throughout the Bible. God often uses people to just speak a simple word into someone else's life. And it may not be a dramatic moment, but it will put something in their mind, it will affirm something in them, and it will nudge them in the direction God wants them to go. I remember a day, this has happened multiple times to me over the course of my life, but I remember one day very clearly, years and years ago, this was, I think, before we had kids, And they're 21 and 18 now, so that tells you this has been a while ago. I believe it was before we had kids. I was running the computer business. We were out of town with the team working at a client site, a huge medical clinic. And it was in the middle of the day, and I got a phone call, and I said, hello. And it was Sandy on the other end of the line. She didn't say hello. She didn't say, how's your day going? This is what happened. I said, hello. And she said, Phil, what are you doing in the computer business? I thought I'd made her mad and didn't know it, and she was taking a cheap shot at me, like telling me I'm no good at this. I didn't know what was going on. I said, what are you talking about? She said, Phil, I just listened to some old preaching tapes of yours. What are you doing in the computer business? Now, if you think my preaching's bad now, you should have heard it 20-something years ago, before we even started this church, when I was just kind of getting my feet wet and God was kind of leading me in that direction a little bit. It was awful. And yet, my wife heard some old preaching tapes. God stirred something in her. She called me to speak into my life and affirm something that I already knew God was calling me to do, but I was scared out of my wits to take that step. Now, what wife in her right mind would ever encourage her husband to leave a business that is very lucrative for an occupation that is typically not lucrative at all? What wife in her right mind would do that? And yet, God used her to speak into my life. And I'm telling you, that was like a burr in my saddle. It stayed with me day after day after day. I couldn't shake it. That was one of those events where God used someone to speak into my life, just one sentence, and it ultimately changed the course of my life. So it's very important that as you explore your gifts, as you try different things, listen to honest feedback from godly people you respect. Number four. This is, again, these are so practical, they don't sound spiritual enough to even be listed, but they're very helpful steps. Number four, I would suggest that you take several spiritual gifts assessments, or spiritual gifts questionnaires, they're called. There's nothing holy about these things, there's nothing super spiritual, they're all man-made, but they're simple, practical tools to help you sort of narrow the field and focus in on, wow, these two or three, I really see God might be wanting to use me in this way. We were going to print off copies and bring them. I may still do that next week, but I thought, you know, you can go online and search for spiritual gifts assessment or spiritual gifts questionnaire, and there's a zillion that pop up. I think some you can even take online, others you can print out. It's a very helpful, practical tool to help point you in the right direction. And then fifthly, and importantly, most importantly, I would encourage you to envelop this whole process in earnest prayer. God will lead you to discover and develop your spiritual gifts in time as you seek Him in prayer and in these other very practical ways. But I want to tell you, it won't happen overnight. I know some of you have been asking, like, you got your pen and paper ready. Okay, what's the next step? What do I have to do to figure this out by next weekend? It's probably not going to happen by next weekend. It's a long process. In most cases, it is a long process. I want to encourage you to be patient. Don't get discouraged. This is how God works in our lives over time. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous," that's you and me, "the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn that shines ever brighter till the full light of day." So that's a picture of our entire Christian journey. We start out with a little glimpse of light at the beginning, but as we follow Christ, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Give God time to develop Himself in you. After all, He's got a lot of mess to clean out, doesn't He? He has with me. Give Him time to develop Himself in you. Now, here we go. We're going to turn the corner, and I want to begin looking at some of the specific spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. There are three places in the Bible that you will find spiritual gifts listed. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. These are the three areas in the Bible where we find spiritual gifts listed. And look, I know you can't write all this down, what we're about to go through. Don't worry about it. If you want to email me this week, I'll be glad to send you a copy of all this for you to have. If you'd like to try to keep up and jot it down, you're welcome to. But I just want to read through so that we can, first of all, get the big picture of the spiritual gifts that the Bible mentions for us. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it lists these seven spiritual gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have two sections there where it lists the gifts in verses 8 through 10, and then right towards the end of the chapter in verse 28, it lists these gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, or languages is the original word, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, helps, and administration. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we have five listed there, and you'll see there's some crossover between these passages of Scripture. We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And because of the original Greek at the end of that section, some say that pastor-teacher is one. I can go either way on that. There's convincing, I think, argument for either one. It doesn't really matter that much, but pastors and teachers are listed at the end. I want to throw this in very quickly just as maybe a helpful tip for you. There have been people over the years who've tried to break these three passages into three separate categories of gifts. And the way they usually do this is they say that Romans 12 contains the motivational gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 contains the manifestation gifts. And Ephesians 4 contains the ministry gifts. I get it. I get the whole alliteration thing. Here's the problem. I can't make that fit, no matter how hard I try. There are times when we're studying Scripture that it just falls off the page into a beautiful, neat little outline. There are other times it doesn't. And what I want to say to you, if you're serious at all about studying the Word of God, listen, don't ever force God's Word into your outline. It must always be the other way around. Your outline, your ideas, the way you're going to prepare or think or present God's Word, must always be in subjection to the text itself. Don't ever take the Word of God and say, I'm going to wrangle it and twist it and force it to make it fit my five-point outline that all start with the same letter. Don't ever do that. You know, once in a blue moon, my sermon points all start with the same letter because they just fall out that way, and it's great. I cannot make this happen in this particular case. One of the reasons is because, as you saw, several of these gifts are listed twice or even three times across these separate sections of Scripture. So how then can we take one gift that's supposed to be a motivational gift and also force it into being a manifestation gift, or vice versa? If that helps you, have at it, mate. It doesn't help me. It actually hinders me in trying to look through this. I would prefer just to ignore all that and look at the gifts themselves. And rather than saying, here's three little packages that they all have to fit in. Now, today and next week, what I want to do is I want to work our way through these gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. We're only going to look at two this week, and then we'll look at the other five next Sunday. We're not going to go through every single gift that we've listed in all three of these passages. We only have 5 weeks for this series. Not going to happen. But I think once we've looked at several of these, you'll get the gist, and you can work through the rest of them on your own. If you have, again, I'll be glad to give you copies of all of this. I know I'm moving fast. If you have questions about any of these other gifts that we're not going to have time to cover, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you and we can talk through it, or you can email me or call me. I'll be glad. I know there are some questions about some of these gifts. You know, are they still around today? Should we be pursuing them or not? And there's a lot of issues involved in that. I'll be glad to help try to walk you through some of that. Here's what I want to say, and you may have never heard this before, but I want to caution us this morning that with every spiritual gift, there are strengths and there are dangers. Now, I didn't say weaknesses, because I don't believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit come with any problems or weaknesses in and of themselves. It's us who mess them up. But there are strengths and there are some dangers that come with every spiritual gift. And church, we must be aware of the potential of misusing a spiritual gift. Probably not intentionally, I wouldn't think. Most likely just unintentionally, subconsciously. If we're not aware of the balance that must be found on each of these spiritual gifts, there is a chance to misuse them, to divide the body rather than unite the body like we looked at last week, to bring hurt into someone else's life. And we want to be very careful as we move forward with this. So we're just going to go through these in order that Romans 12 lists them and just look at some of the strengths and some of the dangers very quickly. The first one it lists is the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is one of those biblical words, I think, that when most people hear it, your mind goes to the Old Testament prophets. And you see the guys, you know, maybe we picture them in their flowing robe, standing with the long stick and the sandals and the beard blowing in the wind, standing on the hillside, proclaiming God's message to the rebellious people. And that's probably exactly what it looked like. But the gift of prophecy back then, well, let me word it this way. The gift of prophecy has always been simply this, proclaiming the word of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets heard directly from God, and God said, I want you to speak my words to the people. All he was doing was proclaiming, he was speaking the word of God. Now, today, we have God's word. We have his revelation to us right here between these covers. And so today, a prophet still does exactly the same thing. He proclaims God's word. In the Old Testament, I suppose if this is helpful for you, one way to look at this would be that in the Old Testament, the prophets were forthtelling what was to come. I'm sorry, I've got that backwards. In the Old Testament, they were foretelling what was to come. I'm glad I caught that. If, by the way, if I make a mistake, somebody throw something at me, or just raise your hand, be better. One day I was up here preaching a long time ago about how Moses built the ark. And I was going at it, man. And Moses built the ark, and somebody came up to me afterwards. He goes, so Moses built the ark, huh? I was like, what? And I went, oh, no, no. He said, yeah, you did. You kind of did. Sometimes my brain gets ahead of my mouth or vice versa. And so in the Old Testament, they were foretelling what was to come. Today in our time, a prophet, really, all he's doing is forthtelling. He's speaking forth the word of God. I know there are some arguments on that. I understand some people today still claim to be prophets foretelling the future. I won't argue with them if that's what they see. But simply this, one of the strengths of the gift of prophecy is that this person is compelled to speak God's truth. I didn't say he makes himself speak it. He wants to do it. He can't stop it. He can't help himself. He is compelled to speak God's truth. Another strength is he sees actions as right or wrong. There's very little gray area. This is right. And guys, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. Another strength is he can quickly discern a person's true motives. When someone with the gift of prophecy is speaking to someone else, usually very quickly, he can stand there and go, don't feel right about this. That doesn't come from him. Has nothing to do with him. That's part of the gift of being able to see right and wrong. Another strength of the prophet is he's willing to speak the truth, even if it means suffering for it. This is a remarkable thing. Again, this does not come from him being a tough guy. It has nothing to do with him. A prophet is one who will stand and proclaim the truth of God, and people go, yeah, we're going to kill you if you keep doing this. And he goes, you know, it's up to you. I can't stop doing this. He's willing to speak the truth, even if it means suffering for it. He also feels a responsibility to confront evil. He can't just sit back and see things happening and go, well, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. There's something in him, it's the Spirit of God, by the way, driving him to confront evil and call it out as it is. And finally, this is an exhaustive list, but just to give you a few things to think on. The gift of prophecy is a person who relies heavily on God's word. He has no interest in speaking his own words because he knows they're flat and empty and lifeless. He relies heavily upon God's word. Now, here are some dangers of the gift of prophecy. And by the way, I know this really well because prophecy is one of my strongest gifts. So when I talk about these dangers, they're coming not only from other people I've talked to over the years, they're coming from me and the times I've blown it. Number one, one of the dangers of the gift of prophecy is he's sometimes too quick to judge. He sees everything as right or wrong. He's quick to step into every situation and go, kids, what you're doing is wrong. But daddy, there's no buts. This is wrong. It's a very dangerous thing. It's got to be tempered right. It's got to be handled right. Secondly, a prophet is quick to judge himself when he fails. Very quick to judge himself. Constantly beating up on himself if he fails in some way. Prophet is often lonely and disliked because, as I said, he speaks the truth without apology. By the way, prophets in the Old Testament, they weren't getting invited to a lot of parties. They were very lonely people. That's the life God called them to. They spoke the truth. They were rejected by just about everybody. Prophet is willing to accept that, but it's one of the downsides, I guess you could say. Right along with that, a prophet is often mocked and ridiculed by people. And here's one that we must constantly be aware of. Someone with the gift of prophecy can often be devastating to individuals or to a church if he acts in the flesh and not in the spirit. It's like someone with a long, extremely sharp sword running through a crowded mall, just swinging it around wherever he wants. See the danger in that? I mean, he's got a sword and it can be used for good things, but if it is wielded in an irresponsible way, it can bring about a tremendous amount of harm. So someone with that gift of prophecy who speaks the word of God, who sees things as black or white, right or wrong, must be very, very careful that he or she is always acting and moving in the power of the Spirit and not out of the flesh. Secondly, the gift of serving is the next one that Romans 12 mentions. There's some tremendous strengths to this. First of all, a person with the gift of serving, and by the way, all of this is to help you kind of start to filter perhaps some of this through in your own life. They are alert to practical needs and quick to meet them. Simple as that. They're just alert to all kinds of needs going on, and they're willing to step in and meet them. They enjoy serving others in order to free them up to engage more fully in other things. They tend to remember the likes, dislikes, and favorite things of others. My wife is this way. I mean, it's like off the charts crazy. She'll say, you remember the lady we met 30 years ago? We had dinner and she had that blue dress on with the little flowers on it and her hair was like fixed like this. And you remember she said that her favorite thing was dark chocolate? I'm going, what? Where is this coming from? I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't remember what we did last week. But she remembers all the favorite little details and likes of people, and she loves stepping in and serving others in that way. Someone with the gift of serving can usually detect ways to serve long before others. You'll have one person with the gift of serving standing here, surrounded by five people who don't have the gift of serving. This person sees a need and is already thinking how to meet that need, and is looking at these other five knuckleheads going, "What's the matter with you? Why don't you see this need? Why can't you step in and help?" And so we've got to be cautious of this. But these people are quick to detect ways to serve others. They also don't mind doing the job alone, and they typically do things with a personal touch. Now here, as we wind this up this morning, here are some dangers of the gift of serving. I mean, you would look at a gift of serving, or any gift really, and go, there's no downside to that. There's nothing we need to be cautious of. Well, listen, some dangers of the gift of serving. These people often feel inadequate for ministry. They look at some of the other gifts and they go, phew, I mean, they're clearly gifted, but me, I mean, I just like to serve behind the scenes. That's not a gift. Yes, it is. And these people often feel inadequate. They often feel inferior to others, as we talked about last week, I think it was. One of the dangers is a person with the gift of serving will often ignore their own needs. Now, the Bible says to put others before ourselves, to give others preferential treatment, but it never says to destroy our own lives, to beat ourselves up, to completely ignore our own health and our own safety and things like that in order to serve others. This is a danger that people with the gift of serving have to be aware of. They often overextend themselves because they find it hard to say no. They love serving so much, God moves through them so strongly in that way, that every need that comes up, they're quick to jump on it because they want to meet the need. Not because they want to be seen. Again, it's like the gift of prophecy. He is compelled to speak the word of God. It just flows out of him. A person with the gift of serving is just compelled to serve. But there's a danger if you have the gift of serving. And I'm looking around and I see some of you who do. You'll serve back in the children's ministry for 6 weeks in a row. And you don't need to do that. It's very easy for them to overextend themselves because they want so much to help. Sometimes people with the gift of serving have a difficult time letting others serve them in return. Not because they're proud. It's just because, I want to do this for you. No, I'm fine. And so there's this often this battle that goes on there. They must guard against seeing every need as urgent. This kind of goes back to the point a couple of points ago. You got to learn, if you have the gift of serving, not every need is urgent. And not every need has to be met by you. Does that make sense? And here's one I mentioned, just sort of alluded to this. Final danger that I see is it's easy for them to get annoyed at others for not serving like them or serving as much as they do. I've seen this happen in my own life. You know, as I said, my wife has the gift of serving. My sister, who's here, has the gift of serving. They serve rings around me. I wouldn't even try to compete or keep up with them. And sometimes I walk away from situations feeling like a moron because I was completely oblivious to a need that existed. My eyes just didn't see it. A person with the gift of serving can find themselves in situations where, as I said, they get really annoyed and frustrated with the people around them for not seeing and responding to all the needs that they see and want to respond to. So a person with the gift of serving has to learn to pull back a little bit and leave a wide margin for other people who don't have that same gift. Because I'm telling you, you may find this hard to believe, those of us without the gift of serving, and again, it doesn't exclude me from serving, but it's not my gift. Those of us without the gift of serving, I'm telling you, we just don't see it as you do. We just don't. Now, often Sandy or, you know, my sister, whatever, will come to me, issues with my parents or whatever, and they'll go, "Hey, we really need to get on this." And in that moment, then I can say, you're right. I missed it completely. How can I help? What can I do? But up to that point, I'm often oblivious of it. Don't mean to be, but we have to in this. It's so important that we learn to understand the strengths and the dangers of our gifts and other people's gifts. Is this starting to make sense? So that once we learn to function together as the body of Christ, we're not always stepping on each other's toes. I'm not getting angry at someone because they didn't see something as right or wrong like I did. Someone's not getting angry at me because I completely missed a need that needed to be served and I was oblivious of it. So we learn to work with one another with our differences and bring it together in harmony. Well, I'm going to pick up there next week. I want to close, though, with just this final important thought. The reason that I've taken 3 weeks in this series on spiritual gifts to even begin naming the spiritual gifts seems kind of weird. Series on spiritual gifts, we did 2 full weeks, never even named the spiritual gifts. The reason I did that is because I don't believe it's necessary to label your spiritual gift before you start using it. Let me explain what I mean. Don't worry about whether you can point to prophecy or teaching or serving or mercy and say, that's my gift. Don't worry so much about that. Instead, the thing to say is, how can I jump in and begin helping to serve the body of Christ? And over the course of time, it will become clear to you that God is using you more in some ways than He is in other ways. And in that process, your spiritual gifts will begin to emerge. Does that make sense? So the reason I haven't been all eager to name all the spiritual gifts and try to, you know, put the label on every one of you so that you can say, okay, that's my gift, is because it's not as important to be able to name your spiritual gift as it is to begin jumping in and serving and helping. And it's in that process over the course of time that will come into focus. Don't get hung up yet on saying, gosh, we're 3 weeks into the series and I still can't name my spiritual gift. Instead, I think what we should get hung up on is saying, am I doing what I can to help strengthen the body? And I'm telling you, if that's your desire, things will come into focus. You will discover your spiritual gifts. I promise you that if that is your desire, God will not let that desire go to waste. So right now, don't worry so much about the specific details of your spiritual gift. That will come in time. But for now, between now and then, let's all just continue to pray. Lord, I give myself to you. I'm asking you to use me in whatever ways you want to use me for your service. And in time, God will show you your spiritual gift. I hope that that makes sense. I know, again, that's just very practical, simple stuff, but I hope that maybe that sheds some light on some areas for you. We'll pick up right here next Sunday, God willing.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Open the eyes of my heart.